Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
This is how flying should be. That's what a Breeze guest recently said about Breeze Airways. Breeze flies nonstop to Sarasota, Bradenton, and more straight from Long Island MacArthur Airport. Breeze not only makes travel easy and affordable, but they offer flexible and friendly change policies, have high-speed Wi-Fi, and a premium first-class seat called Breeze Ascent. It's time you choose to fly Breeze. What are you waiting for? Book your flight today at flybreeze.com. Breeze Airways, seriously nice, in partnership with Visit Bradenton.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're here till 11. We start at 9 and we're here till 11. So feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns when it comes to technology, lots and lots of concerns lately in technology.
Tons and tons of concerns.
Very concerning concerns. And we'll talk about them right now as Dennis will start with his first story of the morning.
This story is not one that I'm happy to deliver.
No.
But there has been a breach at a healthcare organization in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a small organization. It is also not a small breach.
Right.
Community Health Center. Which has a lot of clinics around the state, was breached earlier this month. Well, actually, early January, sorry.
Yep.
Because today is February.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, they were breached about a month ago. The breach was contained, according to them.
Mm.
But now we know about it a month later.
Yeah, thanks to.
And why do we know? Because of the disclosure that they had to make to the state of Maine.
You gotta love Maine.
Because there must have been some residents of Maine in the breach.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to be informed to the Attorney General in Maine.
Right.
Now, this breach, according to them, affects over 1 million people.
Lovely.
That's a third of the state, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
A third of Connecticut is subject to a medical information breach.
Yep.
Now, the other disturbing aspect of that, I mean, that's disturbing enough.
Yes, okay? We're very disturbed.
The other aspect of that that's disturbing is you can't find out about this on any local media.
Nope.
Nobody in Connecticut is covering this.
Nope.
There's been no reporting.
Zero.
None.
Yep. You can look
it up. It's been going on for a month. Nobody has talked about it. The only place to find out about it is in the tech press.
Right.
Because the tech writers.
Where the geeks go.
Right, where we go. But the only reason that's happened is because there are tech writers that monitor the disclosures with the Maine Attorney General, and they just investigate each breach that gets disclosed.
Right. I'm sure we have plenty of dog bites man or man bites dog stories, but nothing about this being talked about.
A million residents of Connecticut
and
the local media don't even know.
Sounds about
how?
Right. Sounds about right.
How?
They're not focused, Dennis. They're not focused.
They're not focused
on what they need to be focused on. Speaking of
breaches,
this is another one. Power schools. So 61 million kids and people are impacted by this breach. Now, if you go to Power Schools, their first line is they're a cloud company.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Really?
They're a cloud company, all right. Well, they're going to be seeing lawsuits after lawsuits. There's one here in Ohio where there's attorneys starting up a class action lawsuit against Power Schools for this breach. You know what? Maybe the model of a cloud approach is a bad one.
And you think?
I'm sorry, guys, But if you put all your eggs in one cloudy basket, the bad guys just have to go after one basket.
Mm-hmm.
It's not difficult, as they had done in the past, to set up a server in the individual school. And
right.
The bad guys wouldn't be able, they'd have to go after each individual instance at the schools to breach it. So you'd mm-hmm. have one school that was impacted, right? But no,
right.
You put it in your cloudy approach, and you wonder why you're 61 million people. Now, here's the other ridiculously stupid thing. Mm-hmm. There's data in these databases that go back to the 90s.
90s?
I could be in the breach.
Oh, no. Really?
Yes.
Oh.
I mean, I could. I mean, who knows? Lots of people could be in this breach. And so that's another thing when it comes to cybersecurity. Why in the world would you hang on to people's data dating back to the 90s? Why would you need my social? Why would you need my information in power schools that I attended your school?
Exactly. I mean, that's one of the basic security approaches. You keep your footprint as small as possible.
Right.
And so, that means purging old data.
As we found with CDK, trying to sell cars.
Oh, yeah.
All cloud-based, 15,000 dealerships, all ransomed at the same time. I would contend the cloud model, for some things, is a good thing.
Sure.
But please, people, I don't know how many examples you need, but these lawsuits, I don't know how PowerSchools is going to survive. Class action lawsuits from all over the country. Because why? You're a cloud company. Well, lovely. I would contend that's your downfall.
Yeah.
You could, and again, here's why they do it. It's a lot easier to maintain one system in the cloud than having you have to maintain multiple flavors of your software because you have people that are hosting it in servers and they've got version XYZ and you want to be on version PDQ, mm-hmm. right? And that's the reason. But again,
that's also because of cash flow.
Oh,
when you subscribe
monthly.
To software,
right.
That's a steady flow of money,
right.
of income, as opposed to selling it every few years,
right.
you know, when a new version comes out.
Well, they could still change the model and rent it to them, even though it's on their server in the school.
True,
they could say, since the cloud is such a bad idea, we would recommend you put this software on a server in your own local data center, locally in your school system, so that you don't have to worry about a breach that we might have in the cloud. By the way, they didn't access it PowerSchools directly. They accessed it through the support aspect of PowerSchools.
Oh, really?
Yes, they accessed it through Power Support or something like that.
Oh.
So again, no 2FA, all that whole thing. Simple, I'll put this link out here for the Columbus story. It's the WSYX out in Columbus that had this story. Again, you're going to see this happening across the country.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be everywhere.
Good luck to power schools. What do you got next here?
Well, we wanted to bring up something that made the news this week.
It did.
In a lot of ways.
Yes, it did.
DeepSeek, which is the new AI model that came out of China.
Yes.
It actually can outperform some of the big, expensive models here in the States.
Yep.
Like OpenAI's ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And it's been, completely disrupted the financial markets because everybody looked at what the Chinese did with hamstrung chips.
Right.
And how this model can actually work better
right.
on lesser hardware.
Right.
Suddenly, companies like NVIDIA became a lot less valuable and there were massive sell-offs in the stock market.
Yeah, and energy companies too.
And energy companies because less energy is required to run these hindered data centers. It's the best word that I can come up with because
right.
the chips
assumed
are
hindered.
Well, yeah, there's another. I mean, we can only go based on what's been disclosed.
Right.
However, they have, the company that did this, released their models on GitHub.
Yeah, it's free.
It's open source.
Right.
You can run it yourself. And there are people that have done it with, you know, lesser hardware.
Yep.
And they're finding that the performance is pretty much in line with what the company has disclosed.
Right.
But I mean, I just think it's insane that people are now selling off all their NVIDIA stocks on the principle that, well, we don't need really good hardware to run AI models anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, come on. You still need good hardware.
You do.
You do. I mean,
you do, but so here's the thing, right? Everyone assumes, right? I mean, we assume that Microsoft is writing the most tight code, the smartest code, the most secure code. But if you listen to this show for the past 30 years, you know that making that assumption is not so smart.
No.
So you look at AI, and of course, you're assuming, right? Somebody's assuming someone over at OpenAI and these guys that are writing this code are writing it on the smartest, lowest cost, lowest hardware requirement, lowest power requirement spec. Maybe not.
Right.
Had they done that, think of Tony Stark trying to build his Iron Man in a cave. That's what China supposedly did with AI.
Mm-hmm.
They took a couple transistor radios, rigged together a toaster, popped in a Pentium, right? Popped in a Pentium and a little bit of Raspberry Pi, and boom, you got AI. And that's the thing, right? See, all these analysts, right? All these smart people are saying, here's the value of NVIDIA. The same smart people said that the mortgages that we were all buying that were put together had value too. And then mm-hmm. we had 2008, right?
Right. And then, of course, the pets.com sock puppet was worth how many millions of dollars
exactly.
back in the day?
That's a .com
and
bubble.
Where is pets.com now?
I've never heard of them. So, so my point is, these analysts sadly don't know what they're talking about.
No,
and they assume and they assume and they assume and they assume, right? They don't actually look into this stuff. And so for people to sell off NVIDIA is a natural thing. Now, of course, the good money is going to get out fast, right? The analyst is going to say, oops, sell. Well, the rest of us who are retail investors are going to be like, okay, along for the ride. here we go. That's the issue with all this stuff. You know, the beauty of this, if China didn't cheat, which they could have, because there's investigations into Singapore where there's a massive, huge percentage of NVIDIA chips heading to Singapore.
Right.
Might they actually get on a slow boat to China? Yep, they could. So who knows if China's telling the truth? They're probably not. Did they cheat on the IP? They probably did.
Oh, yeah. That's the other accusation is that, right. that this whole thing was built on OpenAI's learning model.
Right. But that's what they just
all
watched.
Of the data that they had assembled,
right.
It was just plopped on that.
But they watched how Microsoft had Bing, right? Bing was using Google search.
Yeah.
As their own search results.
They were.
They were just going to Google, getting the search, putting it back and checking it out of Bing. I mean, this is not a new thing. So we'll see if this is real or not, but it does show you that AI, the whole AI was a little bubbly, you know, the promise of AI. Now, it'd be great if we can do it with less chips and less energy because
sure.
we don't want a Bitcoin approach to AI, right? You want a transistor radio wrapped in with a little Raspberry Pi connected to a Linux operating system to get your AI, right? You don't want somebody powering up Three Mile Island like they're like it's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation when he turns on his electric his lights, right? You don't want that. You want we should be better, stronger, smarter, and we tend not to be. So that's what happened, I think, with DeepGeek. We'll see what goes on. DeepSeek, whatever. Also, be careful playing around with that. Who knows what? If you load that on your phone, if you're loading the app on your phone, there's other concerns that it could be also some Trojan horse going on here.
Oh yeah.
So I wouldn't play around with Chinese AI if I were you. Leave it to the experts, quote unquote. We're going to step out for a quick break. Joe and Lori, hang on. A couple lines open for you. We'll be right back. Yes, the theme song to radio.
Yep.
But we are back, and we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. And thank you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. We will do our best to help you with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Let's go right to your calls. We're going to go to Joe in Berlin first. He's been on the longest. What's going on, Joe?
Good morning.
Morning.
Microsoft did it to me again.
Mm. Oh, what did they do to you?
Last Monday, I got updated to M365.
Okay.
And so I have new Outlook.
Oh.
And I can't find how to get back to classic Outlook.
We can post some guidance with that.
Frustrating.
It's very frustrating, and it's something that we've dealt with here.
Yep.
At Tab. Not too often, but it comes into the help desk, I would say, at least once a week.
Yeah.
We can get some guidance.
I talked to you last summer, and I got around it then.
Yep.
But this new update that I got Monday, it has the M365, and I got to go to the new Outlook.
Right. The classic ones there, they kind of hit it on you. That's what happened to even me when I got my wife her new computer. Same thing. I'm like, what the heck? Literally two days after I put it in for her, Outlook goes away. And this is back in the summer. And same thing. I mean, I'm a victim of Microsoft just like everybody.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll be looking for your post.
Yeah, we'll put a link as to how to go find the classic icon. It's there. You could do a quick search on Outlook. You should see the classic. And
I've been bouncing around, but I still can't find it. So
Yeah,
we can post it.
I'm overwrite something, so.
Right.
Oh, well, honestly, once you see it's a little toggle in the application, and once you see it, you just click it. So it's an on-off switch, essentially.
That they threw for you without asking you.
They didn't tell you about it. They didn't care that you didn't want the new Outlook.
Right.
But that's really all that it takes to get rid of it.
Right. And normally that's called malware.
Like this, seems like this 365, the AI stuff, it's all kinds of stuff I don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's getting packaged in regardless of what you want, but you can get back your classic Outlook anyway.
Yeah, we can do that for
you. Okay, yep. I need that. Thank you.
You got it, Joe.
Okay,
bye-bye. Yeah, they're throwing in Copilot. I read that.
And they're deploying the new Outlook now on Windows 10, too. That's probably why he got it, if he's got Windows 10. It had been reserved for Windows 11 only until a month or two ago.
Really? So you're seeing it on 10s, too.
Yep.
Frustrating. Let's go on to Deep River and Lori. Lori, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Having fun trying to, with an Apple, I've got a very long video, about an hour long, that it's an educational video that I have on my tablet, my Apple tablet, and I'm trying to, or hoping to email it to a coworker so all of the others in my company can watch the damn thing to learn something.
It's probably too big.
Yeah, it's probably too big to email.
But I didn't know if there was a program that could be, that would compress it.
That's a fair point. You could try to zip it. PKZip is a compression program, but it still may not zip it enough.
Yeah, my suggestion would be to use something like Dropbox. You can get a decent amount of storage, probably enough for a single video, for free on a Dropbox account, and then put the video into that, and then email out links to that for the people that you want to get it.
I hadn't even thought about using Dropbox.
That's why we're here.
Okay. Yeah.
Here's a thought. If you have a Google account, you have a certain amount of storage in Google Drive. If you have a Microsoft account, you'll have a small amount of storage in OneDrive. Mm-hmm. You can use any of those things. Same principle. You take that file, put it in the cloud, send everybody a link to it.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I don't use my cloud backup for... Oh.
Yeah. We'll try Dropbox then.
Yeah, just Dropbox then.
All right, Joy, Lori?
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great. Thanks so much.
Yep, good luck.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye. Funny thing, I read that Dropbox is leaving Delaware.
What?
Yeah. They're sick and tired of Delaware and how their activist judges are dealing with how these companies are working. The safest, the best place to incorporate now is going to be Texas. We're going to step out for a quick break, get back to more of your calls, and this is coming up with Morgan's News, but Joyce and Sarah, hang on, we'll be...
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk.
Over the last 20 years, people have described the overnight as one of the most powerful experiences of their lives. Now is the perfect time to join us as people from all over the country come together to stop suicide. Walk over 16 miles from dusk till dawn to raise much-needed funds for this important cause. You'll form lasting friendships, experience healing and love, and bring hope to those affected by suicide. Be a part of this life-changing event. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. June 21st. Register now at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT. That's 888-843-6837.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be right back. And we are back. And we really want to thank you guys for joining us at 9.
Yeah.
It's great you guys are calling in early and often, and we appreciate that. We're going to get to your calls here. We're going to go to Sarah in Meriden next. What's happening, Sarah?
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
I think I have an unsolvable problem, but I'm going to give you a chance for me not to give up.
All right. That's our specialty.
Well, I have an older computer, which is the computer itself is working fine, but I have some nice speakers that are line-in speakers, and I don't know why, but it keeps telling me that there's no audio device detected.
They're going right into the green port?
Right. Yep.
That's not the speakers, I don't think, that they're asking about then.
Well, take a look at, is this a desktop or a laptop?
It's a desktop.
Okay. There's going to be several different colored ports, and they all will take a similar plug. One of them is going to be lime green. That's usually the speaker port. Is that what you've plugged into?
Yes.
All right. I'm wondering if there might be a problem with the sound hardware.
That's what I'm thinking. It's not the speakers per se.
If you're in the right jack, and it sounds like you are, then if it's telling you there's nothing there, then yeah, you got a hardware issue. The thing that I was going to suggest is just make sure you're not plugged into a different colored port, like pink, which I think is a microphone.
Right.
And then there'd be outputs. One of them might be an optical output, which is not doesn't take the same kind of plug.
Right.
If you're looking for speakers for your computer, you might want to replace the ones that you've got with a USB-based speaker because it will have its own sound controller built in. And it'll override whatever
nice
is in
speakers.
The computer now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they are. The other thing, of course, you can find is a USB.
Yep.
Sound connector, and
right.
then you would plug your speakers into that. We can find a link for one of those if you want. We can post that on Facebook and
right.
Twitter.
Starlink might. Starlink? No, StarTech.com.
Hey, Starlink.
Yeah. Everything's named Star these days.
I know.
StarTech probably has it. You can probably something find it on Amazon too. But yeah. So if you want to keep your speakers, you got to plug them in the old fashioned way, but you're going to adapt it by a USB over to the green port, and you're just going to plug them into that port rather than what's in your machine now, because we think that's gone bad.
And that's what
happen.
I was afraid of.
Yeah, and if you like your speakers,
and what's it called again?
It's usually called a USB audio adapter.
Mm-hmm.
And we can
audio
post
adapter.
A link to one, but you can find a whole bunch of them in different places.
Yeah, not very expensive.
Oh,
no.
Wonderful. That will be a possible alternative. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
Yep, you too. Bye-bye. All right,
bye.
So Sarah's going to go get a USB audio adapter. We're going to go to Joyce in Torrington next. What's going out there in Torrington, Joyce?
Hi. Well, the sun's out now, but there was snow a little while ago. Can
nice.
You hear me okay? Because I have you on speaker.
We can. You sound fine. But usually we do like people to be on the phone directly, but go ahead.
Okay, I can do that.
No, you're good. You sound good, actually. Go ahead.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, on my email, two emails from DocuServe, and I opened both of them, and they both said the same thing. There were different times involved. One was like about 3 minutes before the second one, and I looked at it. I didn't open it, but I looked at it, and it said they're looking for my signature, PayPal, for Bitcoin. That's not me. That wasn't me, obviously. It was $500 and some odd, $49. That wasn't me.
Right.
So I scrolled down on the DocuServe, and where it said sign, and it says, and there's a little box there that says decline signature. So I hit decline signature.
Oh, don't do that.
Oh, shit.
Oh. I hit the button. Let's hope that works.
Well,
don't say that word on 1080 either. So I had to, that's the first time I had to use the dump button. But yes, I don't blame you. Never interact with something you think is fishy, no matter what it is.
Right.
At the time, I thought it was legitimate from somebody asking for Bitcoin, somebody wanting to buy Bitcoin and looking for my signature.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was legitimately from DocuSign.
Well, that's okay. That's, I don't know why, how your mind went there, but it did, and that's fine. But the point is, you weren't buying any Bitcoin, and any kind of interaction with those types of attachments could lead to some sort of compromise, right? Mm-hmm. So if these are bad guys, as we suspect they are, they were hoping for you to interact. Now, what happens after you hit decline? Anything?
It gives you the opportunity to say why, you know, and it wouldn't. The cursor would not work in the box for the description to say why.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I closed out of that, and I looked up online to see if I could get a phone number for DocuSign, and I couldn't. But I could get an email, which I used, and I think it was spam@docusign.com.
Sure.
And I sent that out to them.
Sure.
And
DocuSign is not ever going to ask you to buy Bitcoin. That's just a intermediary tool to allow for things to be executed electronically.
Well, they were it did say, the DocuSign did say it was a purchase through PayPal.
Do you have PayPal?
My first thought was I got to get to PayPal. And that's impossible also. You can't talk to anybody ever.
Right.
So I got PayPal's, I found it online, phishing@paypal.com.
Good job.
And I sent that off to them.
Are you a PayPal customer? Do you use PayPal?
You know, I have used it, but I think I have used it, but not lately.
Okay. Well, you were nice enough to send the phishing stuff off to those two companies.
Yeah.
But never, ever interact with something you think is fishy. Simply delete it. Doing all the extra work you did was nice of you. Marking it as spam and sending it back to the customer, to those folks. I'm sure they appreciated that. But this is a common fish, right? DocuSign phishing. You can just go do a quick Google search.
I had no idea.
No, I know. But never interact. These payloads that are attached, especially through 365, any kind of attached payload could be something that interacts with you that then does something you don't know is happening in the background. It could kick off all sorts of scripting in the background. It could do PowerShells in the background you're not even aware of by simply interacting with the attached file.
How can I undo the bad I did?
We don't know what bad you did, if you did any bad.
That's true. I could delete PayPal. I called my credit card company, and they said at this point there's nothing they could help me with.
Right, because there's no charges.
Right.
There wouldn't be any charges because it was, they're looking for my signature, I guess.
No, they're not.
They're not.
No, they're not. They're looking to have you do something that then is going to get you down a pathway. Believe it or not, Bitcoin scams, according to the FBI, is the biggest scam out there. Almost $6 billion of real money has been taken from people in America thanks to Bitcoin scams. So they might have tried to get you to first say, oh, yeah, I'm interested in Bitcoin. And then you're going to work with these dinglings, and they're going to they'll take your money. So,
I could delete PayPal. My credit card company was alerted.
No, you're fine. I think you're okay. I think they were trying to get your confidence to go over the next step, which was to try to trick you into buying Bitcoin in some way.
So even though I hit declined, you don't think I'm in danger? I'm at risk?
I don't think so. If you want to run a product like Malwarebytes on your computer, you could do that. Download that for free if it still is free. Pay attention to that.
It is.
There's going to be some free attached stuff that comes along with it.
Well, yeah. When you install it, they'll invite you to subscribe to it as an antivirus. But what I would do is I'd install it. Mm-hmm. I'd run a scan.
Yep.
And then I would uninstall it.
Right.
Okay.
That would be a check. But you did it. You did it as best you could. I wouldn't have gone as far as you did to try to help and help the community. But going forward, just delete it and move on.
Okay. Okay. And believe me, I'm going to delete PayPal, and I'm going to. And I don't know. I don't know. I have used DocuSign in the past legitimately.
Of course.
I don't know if that's on my computer.
That's not a problem. DocuSign is a legitimate tool.
Okay. Okay.
Oh yeah, very much so.
All yeah. Right. Well. All right, okay. Joyce. Okay. Thanks. You calm. Yeah. You've managed to calm me down a little bit.
All right. Very good, Joyce. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
So we do have to go to a quick break here, but real quick on Bitcoin. I read this recently. The Inflation Reduction Act, which is a silly name for an act that doesn't do anything for inflation, also has a provision for you Bitcoin holders in a corporate world, where they want to tax you on the appreciation of the value of the fake money. So there's companies out there like MicroStrategies. I was reading this on Yahoo Finance that could be looking at a 15% tax on Bitcoin appreciation they didn't realize just because they held it.
What?
Yep. Thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act. Meaning, so this is kind of like having to sell the farm to pay the taxes. So MicroStrategy is going to have to go and sell something to get real money to pay the tax on the fake money's appreciation. That doesn't sound like a good model to me.
Oh. Oh, please.
I guess there have been laws that allow these companies to write off the reduction, the depreciation of it. But now they're going to get them on the other side.
They have to pay tax on the gain.
On the gain they didn't realize.
Right, because they haven't actually sold anything.
It. Welcome to Washington. So on top of the foolishness of Bitcoin, they're going to tax you fools better. I love it. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And real quick story before I get to your calls. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. This is cool news I wanted to bring up. Samsung. I'm a big fan of Samsung smartwatches. They supposedly have a non-invasive blood sugar monitor tech that's coming out.
Ooh.
In their newer watches. I guess maybe the Galaxy S25. I don't know. But it's coming out that they're going to be able to send lights into you past your wrist there to detect mm-hmm. how sugary your blood is.
Whoa.
And if you've ever used blood sugar monitors on your arm, you know what uh-huh. those are all about and how expensive they are.
Yeah.
It would be great to disrupt that industry and just simply have them look at your blood and say, man, that looks like syrup to me. but it's definitely cool technology. And if they're talking about it, it's probably not vaporware. It probably does work.
Yeah, I would think that they've had to have tested it to some degree.
And we'll see. I'm sure Apple will probably have a similar technology. That is game changing.
Yeah. And hey, we're getting closer and closer to Star Trek every day.
Aren't we?
Remember when Dr. McCoy used to wave that little thing over his patients and he'd pick up all kinds of things?
You would think they would just turn off the sound, and the sound was so annoying. Right? Why would the doctor want to have that? it's Star Trek, right? Do you need the sound? You know what I mean? We turn off, we mute everything, right? Why would they keep it running? So we'll put this link up here for you. And Samsung has got some cool stuff coming out to monitor your blood. And we all, according to, you know, Make America Healthy Again, we've all been getting into some serious issues with type 2 diabetes and all these types of things, thanks to our habits and the food we eat. At least you'll be able to have your watch say, yep, you're right. We got to do something about this. So I'll put that link up there for you guys. So let's get to Janet real quick here before the top of the hour. She wants to talk about internet. What's going on, Janet?
Yes, I have the opportunity to get GoNet speed, and yeah. I don't really know. East Hartford has it, and I don't really know anything about it. I have Frontier now, and I'm mm-hmm. getting kind of sick and tired of every 4 or 5 months my bill goes up, and I'm going, for what?
Right.
And
kind of like the electric bill too, right?
But you know, it's the fact that, you know, it goes up and yep. you know, my speed seems to go down.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering, does GoNet Speed, do they raise the bills every few months? Or?
Not that I've seen. When they first came to town, they had a lifetime guarantee price of like mm-hmm. $39 or something like that. It was awesome. And then they, mm-hmm. and so they did great. They're a fiber company and they started really rolling out their product. Then they had some VC money behind them to expand further. And they became a different, slightly different named company. So lifetime is based on the lifetime of the company's existence. But what I've seen is their prices do stay pretty stable. Will they okay. forever? I couldn't tell you that.
I know.
But
I know.
But here's the thing. By having a third competitor in the market, you've got cable, you'd have Frontier, you have GoNetSpeed. Actually, you then have cellular, you have satellite. Mm-hmm. Now we're looking at four or five competitors. Guess what they have to do? Compete.
They have to compete. They have to have the prices go good.
Yeah. So I would tell you that the prices could go up, but I would contend that they want to keep your business. And so they probably won't go up for a while. So, and I haven't seen mine go up. So I would tell you to consider putting it
and
in.
And you like it?
Oh, it's never been a problem. I love it.
Now,
500 for $49.
Well, I probably would need the lowest
yes.
because I just use my computer for emails.
Yep.
I have certain sites that I order from and
sure.
have for years.
Yeah.
And that's about all I do on the computer.
There you go. How much do you spend now?
Well, it was in the 90s.
Yeah.
And it's now just this past month. I just paid it. Mm-hmm. It went up to 107.
Yikes. Yeah, time to make
a
change.
I do have a landline with Frontier.
You should consider getting rid of that too. But they will give you. They do have lines options as well with GoNetSpeed if you
do
want to do that.
They do.
They can do it.
It's just that every once in a while, if my power should go out,
you still use your cell phone.
I know.
You don't need a landline.
I don't know. I'm just old-fashioned.
I know. I promise you, you don't need it.
I'm 70, and I'm still old-fashioned.
That's okay. You're like every person in Connecticut I've ever talked to.
But anyway, I just mm-hmm. wanted to get, you know, your thought, your experts.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to get your thought, you know, on if you thought that it might be worth
it's worth it
to try it.
Yep. You want to save some money? Go ahead and do that. You'll be happy.
Great. And I love your show. And I'm glad you're on with Brian, too, in the mornings. I listen.
Awesome. I'm sure Brian appreciates you being there.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, Janet.
All right. Thank you, guys.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I do have fun on Tuesdays with the Tech Tuesdays. Usually 8:20 on Tuesday, we talk about some of the topics. We have a much more condensed period of time to talk about him, but it's fun to be on his program. So lines are wide open. 860-522-9842 is the number. Feel free to get online. As we wait for your calls, you remember those drones I told you was not anything to worry about? Well, they weren't anything to worry about. So it's just like the summer of the shark of 2001, where everybody was being eaten by a shark, and there was no increase in shark bites or any of that kind of stuff. Just the media doing its thing, being ridiculous. Same thing here with the pesky drones over New Jersey. And according to the FAA, they were all approved FAA flights. Why they couldn't tell us that long time ago, I have no idea. But they were all approved FAA flights, so don't freak out. There wasn't the Chinese scoping us out. It wasn't anything nefarious going on. It turns out it was just people using drones for whatever they were using drones for. All FAA was aware of it. And also, of course, hobbyists. There's lots of people out there with drones these days. So rest assured, nobody cared about New Jersey to look at it. What else you got there, Dennis, before you go?
I have an interesting story about something that Microsoft is doing.
Yeah.
We've mentioned before on the show scare pages or tech support scams that will come up on people's computers, where suddenly the computer stops working and it tells you, sometimes verbally,
to call,
that your computer's been compromised and you need to call a phone number. Well, yeah, we know those are scams. The people that call are not trying to help you. They're trying to rob you, basically. At any rate, Microsoft is testing a feature for Edge that is a scareware blocker.
Oh.
It will detect the behavior that launches that page.
Nice.
That kind of takes over your computer.
Mm-hmm.
And if it detects that behavior, it'll block it or ignore it.
So Microsoft will detect when your computer is being taken over and block it.
Right.
Well, that's handy. Where has that been all my life?
Well, that's the question that I have. I mean, when a website is instructing your browser to go full screen and not take any more input
and talk to you,
why would the browser do that?
Yes.
Why?
Because
legitimate function is being performed doing that?
It was a feature.
If I want to hit F11 right. and go full screen,
mm-hmm.
that's me telling the computer to do that with the browser. But right. when the site is sending that instruction,
right.
it's almost always going to be malicious.
Right.
Well, at any rate, they are rolling this out in newer versions of Edge that are coming to your computer soon.
They had an aha moment. Maybe we shouldn't allow the browser to do that without input from the user.
I've only been asking why it happens for 20 years.
Yeah.
But nobody listens to me.
No.
So
well, it's nice.
Finally, they're doing something right.
Nice job, Microsoft. Way to go. We get to say attaboy. To Microsoft. They finally fixed something. Let's go on to Greg in Colombia. What's going on, Greg?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. I have a I have a three-story home, and well-built three-story home, and I just recently upgraded my router system with an Aura router, went to Best Buy, mm-hmm. used the tech, yeah. gave me the whole nine yards. My problem is, I believe, is that my router is on the third floor of my home.
Yep.
And I have a mesh. I put the mesh system in, with the little satellite boxes that go floor to floor. I have two boxes, one on the second floor,
yep.
obviously one on the first floor.
Yep.
But I do experience some buffering, and I'm thinking, because no matter how strong the router is, do I need to essentially move everything to the second floor? And have my router and such in that location.
We're going to talk. We're going to talk.
What's that?
We're going to talk. There's lots of things that you can do on Wi-Fi as far as which network you're connecting to. Is it 2.4? Is it 5? All sorts of reasons can cause those types of, all sorts of configurations can cause those issues. Can you hold on through the news?
Sure.
All right. We're going to put you on hold.
Thank
you're going
you.
To listen to Morgan tell you something important, and then we'll get back to you, okay? All right. So we're going to put Greg on hold. John and Larry, you guys hang on as well. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Everything we talked about has been posted over on our Facebook page, the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network by Mike G. And if you follow us on X, you'll get it there as well. We'll be right back.